Mary Dygonin wasn't a prostitute, although at times she might have had sex for money. In the hurly-burly Chicago of the early 1900s, she was what was known as a badger. She'd bring men into her room with the promise of sex, then an accomplice would burst in and pretend to be a cop, a brother, a jealous husband, rob the John, and turn him out. Chicago May, as she came to be known, was an Irish immigrant whose probably highly manufactured autobiography made her a celebrated rogue in the late 1920s. Irish journalist and novelist Nuala O'Phelan has written a partly imagined account of her life called The Story of Chicago May. She joins us from our studios in New York City. Thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
And how did you come across May's story?
Well, a local historian from May's own part of Ireland wrote a book about May, which he published himself. Mm. And I came across that book. And the very first thing that interests me about May was that when she ran away from home in 1890 to come to America, she stole the family money to do it and she bought herself a first-class ticket. And, you know, this kid would never have worn shoes. She'd have worn boots, of course, but not shoes. Mm-hmm. She'd never have seen a knife and fork. And she sashayed onto the boat in first class. And I think it's because she was the best-looking girl in the parish. But one way or another, I had this picture of a girl entering America, not like the many, many other Irish girls who entered America, frightened and homesick and heading for a life of domestic service, but a girl who had an idea of herself. And of course, the tragedy of it is that then, and probably even now, there's no such thing as freedom for a young female who has nothing going for her except her looks. I mean, there was nowhere for May to go but down.
Describe her for me. As you point out, her investment, in a sense, was in her appearance.
Well, yes, it may have been what gave her the chutzpah to make the life she did. She was very tall for the time. She had a mane of red gold hair and she was buxom. In other words, she had a womanly body with big breasts. But on top of that, she had a roundy, innocent face with big blue eyes and Cupid's lips. And I think the combination was devastating then and, for all I know now, to the opposite sex.
Could you read a section for us, please?
I intervene directly in the narrative. I put myself in there as the person watching May. When she runs away from home and arrives in Manhattan, it was too early for Ellis Island, so she arrived down at the tip at Castle Garden. I imagine myself there with her. I set about following her. I was in a library, but I had such a sense of forward movement that I might have been on that quayside near Castle Garden and falling into line behind the boy who's carrying her bag. I follow the glint of sun on the coil of red-gold hair under the splendid tulle hat. She makes her way, straight-backed and tall, through the bustle of the quayside, and I am the only one who knows that her money, her freedom, is hidden between her chemise and her bodice. She's moving fast because she's elated, but I almost see her turn without breaking her stride and beckon me on. That's how it often was in real life in the days of emigration. One woman went ahead and learned the ropes, and as soon as she could, helped another woman make the journey.
Nuala, what was the trace of Chicago May's life, particularly before the age of jet travel? Someone born in rural Ireland who winds up in North America, then back to Europe, prison, back to America. The back and forth is extraordinary.
You know, one of the fascinating things about this book is the discovery that the crooks of early America were great internationalists. They thought nothing of wandering around the world. May herself worked in Cairo, in South America. Her pals worked in Belgium, Scandinavia. They were not first-class crooks. They weren't very important. They were very incompetent, as a matter of fact, as crooks. But travel meant nothing to them. But May was typical of the whole gang of them in that she wandered merrily around the world. To me, she's also a very hidden person because although she did amazingly write an autobiography, and she did, Scott, it wasn't ghostwritten, you know, she manages to tell you everything that happened to her in a hugely chaotic way without telling you what it meant to her.
You suggest at one point that she, I guess she wrote her autobiography at a time when she was advancing in age.
Yeah. She was finished, really. She was at this point, she was a streetwalker of the lowest kind on the streets of Detroit. It's the late 20s. Detroit is a very rip-roaring city because the liquor is coming in from Canada. It's towards the end of Prohibition. And she couldn't be lower, and she collapsed, and she was put in the hospital jail. Hmm. And Vollmer found
August Vollmer.
Yeah, a great man and the creator of the modern American police system. Anyway, Vollmer found May. She's 56 years old. She's chained to her bed. She's sick. She doesn't own $1 in the world. And when she goes out, she's going to go back in the streets and she's going to die. And he says to her, "You possess only one more thing you can sell. You possess your story." And that's the miracle, that on the basis of a few years' education as a child, nearly 50 years before, in a little thatched schoolhouse in Ireland, she went away and she did write her life story. Badly and all as she wrote it, she did it, 100,000 words. And because that exists, I was able to write this book.
After beginning to inhabit her life, what did you find her best qualities were?
Well, people like her who live a purely active life, they lean in against the experience of being alive. She never bothered with security or safety. Mm. She never thought more than a few hours ahead, and she did her best not to regret the past. This meant that she was where she was. She was in the moment. And she says at the end of her book, "I never wanted to die, not because I was afraid of dying, but because I enjoyed life."
Nuala O'Phelan, her new book is called The Story of Chicago May. Nuala, it's been very nice talking to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Scott.
You can read more about Chicago May's escape from Ireland in an excerpt of Nuala O'Phelan's book on our website, npr.org.